Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming this way and clicking on that button so you can hear a message, because God has a message for you. We don't even know what it is, but we know He knows. Father, You're so glorious, so wonderful, so true, so faithful, so blessed beyond all description. We thank You for Your anointing on Brother Freedom. We are thankful that You brought this listener to come this way, that they might hear a message from You. We just pray that You'll pour that message right through this electronic equipment and out across the internet through that speaker earphone to them, Father, for their need. We give You praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. My son Micah has some scripture that Brother Freedom has found for us.
This is Numbers, the 12th chapter. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth, and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Then in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, verse 30 says, And I sought for a man among them, that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Lord, thank you for this wonderful word and this wonderful day, Lord. Help us to be like Moses, Lord, meek before you and humble. We pray for your anointing upon your servant, Brother Freedom, and upon his words, Lord. We pray that your spirit would move mightily through this meeting and through the internet to touch every listener and to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this wonderful day. It's surely a good day with you. Lord, I thank you. And I do praise you, and we here this day love you. We want you to be with us. We invite you into our hearts, into our lives. Father, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for your Son Jesus that paid in full, paid a debt that we could not pay, and he paid that debt freely for us that we might live. If we just accept you this day, and we thank you for that you give us a right to be able to accept your Son. And your word says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Lord, we choose you this day in our hearts in a very, very special way. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy One, Father. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that you've given us to lead us, to help us, to guide us this hour. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hopefully that I can speak for everybody can hear me this day. That I truly believe that the Lord, He sees all. He hears all. And I believe behooves us all to be careful what we say. The Bible says by our words are we justified, or by our words are condemned. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we as God's people need to remember that that's how we get places with the Lord is by our tongue. It takes our heart to drive our tongue. And when you get them connected in the way of holiness, you're going to see great and mighty miracles. You're going to see things happen. You're going to see God's hand move upon you. But if you don't go and get it in that kind of sequence, there is no move of the Lord. You just do it within yourself. And, you know, practicing, you practice to make perfect. But if you're not practicing right, then you're never going to be made perfect. We need to practice serving the Lord to the full extent. His eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now we see here Moses was called by God, and then Moses told the Lord, says, well, he says, I'm not a man of speech. So God says, well, I'll give you your brother Aaron and Miriam. They'll be with you to help you. But see, he called Moses. Now, what was they doing? They was murmuring against the one that God had called. And God puts a, it's like my wife, she could say something bad about me if she didn't want anybody else to. God, when he wants to speak to us, he'll speak to us. He's not going to go around the bush and tell someone else over. That's the way the world does it. That's talking about people. That's a falseness with God. Needed to do it to his face, and it's over with. That's the way it does. Well, they was, Aaron and Miriam, they was talking about Moses, their brother. Who do you think he was? You know, I've heard that in families. They says, who do you think you are? And that's the way it is. Your families, a lot of times, don't approve. If you're working and living for the Lord, they may not be approving what you're doing. They might not accept it. They might not say that you're even qualified. And we go by those kind of conditions where all of us would probably be qualified. God qualifies us. Because God comes into our heart, and he knows us. Now, Moses was a meek man. He said no part of the world or the earth of that day was like Moses, a meek man. And the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. So being meek gave a great power in God's eyes. He was a man for leadership. He was going to lead God's people. He chose Moses. I can see why. Moses was a very humble man. And his sister and brother was a little bit, they were not so humble. And God seen this, but see, God seen this for, but when they were still okay, but when they got out of line against their brother, then God says, I'm going to come in and take Moses' part. God's going to protect you. If you're a child of God, God will protect you, make you look good. Whatever it takes, he's going to work on your behalf. This applies to life. If you live for God, this promise is far off. Everybody can have it. If you live for God, God's going to be with you. He's going to take your side. If you get out of line, he'll tell you. He don't go tell the world, but he tells you. He'll tell you how to get better, and he helps you to get better, and you start performing in the will of God. But see what happens. We don't give God a chance. And I'd say in America, there are very few people really get the chance, because the sky is the limit. Church is a place to get us started. And we can even continue to go there. But there should be no restraints on your going forward and up higher. Because if you are, you never get out away from it. It'll bring you down to a place that you're in bondage. And bondage will destroy you. It'll destroy your work. You can do it to the will of God. You're still destroyed because the Spirit of God is not up on his approval. It's not on your life. Now, Miriam had to go out, and God was very good to her. That leprosy left her, and she was healed. But she had to stay out of the camp for 7 days. But God is the God of gods. When David messed up a little bit, well, God said, well, choose different things. So David and God blessed him and went ahead and carried out the decision. Like a judge gives you a sentence. He carried out the sentence. God is very just, very honorable, very special. And I really believe that in Ezekiel, it talks about I sought for a man among them that they should make up a hedge and they should stand in the gap before me and the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This is what really got me to starting out with the Lord, because I was seeing really, I could see it, Nobody was really wanting to step out. I didn't know what God would even want me to do. I knew I wasn't, I went to Bible school for a while and people said, you're not going to be a good preacher. And I said, okay. I felt that wasn't my calling. But I knew that there must be something I could do to the Lord. I'd just be a servant. So I thought, how? I had no help, nobody to help me. So I thought, well, I'll pray. I know all through the Bible, everybody prays. So I thought, well, I'll try that. So I prayed. Every time I got a chance, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I got a neck injury at the same time. So I thought, well, I need to pray more. After 7 years, well, or 8 years, the Lord kept coming to my life finally and healed my neck. But there were other things that I still had to do after that time. And so I prayed in the Spirit. I prayed every time I get by myself, I go down the highways, I pray in the Spirit. Pretty soon I got to understanding that God had power. He had power. He would distribute that power to individuals. If they would seek God, they would fill in the hedge. Now Moses, back in the old days, he took those people all the way out of Egypt. They didn't get to the promised land, but it wasn't Moses' fault. The people murmured. They displayed the things that God detested. And when we go against God's method, it's just like our land, when all abortions and things that's going on in this land, God sees it. He sees how we run our churches. Everything that we do, it's all for the... It's actually geared for people. It's geared when you go home, you feel good. And that's nice, but God sometimes, he chastises the ones he loveth. And music has got, I didn't know that, the Lord let me know this. Music is very great. God loves it too. But it is a time, it'll appease the conviction that you have in your heart. It lets you know where you are in a way. You're just sort of dreaming. And pretty soon that goes. But the convicting power of God is that comes down your heart and tugs at you to you do the will of God. Hear me, y'all, world? That's what happened. You need to get someplace till you get that tug from God. And it's serious. It's very special because God has a calling in most everybody's heart. But we don't back up that flight. We're afraid we're going to be sent to India or someplace like that. We don't really choose to be really used of God. We're just using God in our own, what we want to do. If I can live so-and-so and I'll do so-and-so, if I can have a few, I'll be a pastor too, but and we limit. We limit God. But as I see it, there's no limits in serving God. Sometimes He chooses, when He says it, you can do it. So I got to that point. That time I said, Lord, I'll put you first. Lord says, I've seen your heart, because I'm not going to use you really strongly until the last hours. He says, I'm going to let you, what your hand can become is for me, you do it for a while. And I'll tell you how long it's going. And everything I did seemed like just for a year or so, and I'd go to something else. But in life, that's the way it is. We have to come up to bat and say, Lord, I will give my all to you. And we sing that song as a little, I remember when I was young, I surrender all. That's the song I'm trying to think of. And we don't really surrender all. We just surrender back to part way. I'm married now, Father, so I'm exempt, you know. Well, you don't send married people off to war, so, you know, they do go to war too. What I'm saying, there's some things that God exempts us, is all right. But what I'm trying to picture, I'm not pointing to picture nobody, but there's been so many people that's exempted. They exempted themselves. There's nobody that really wanted to get up and say, I want to know my God. I don't know very many people that I can say that they know their God like I do. Because I've lived with Him. And then I failed Him. I have failed Him miserably. But He still loves me. And I know that applies to everybody. If you fail Him, He'll still love you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. When no one understands, He still understands you. He's there to come against those that come against you, like Aaron and Miriam. He took Moses' side. And you know what I mean? For Him to take my side is worth it all.
just that one feeling, Jan, just that he cares that much individually, and he'll do that for everybody. Why he doesn't is because we have never broke off where he can do it. We have to say, Lord, it's you or nothing. That's what I told him. I said, well, I said, I ain't got nothing going anywhere. Go for it. That's what he told me when I thought it was all over with my stroke. The last part of, lo, I'll be with you always, and your time is about to begin. The last part, go for it. And I'd like to say for all you out through the world today, we need to start going for God. We need to put him first. We need to seek him in a very special way. He understands you, and he'll uphold you. He'll encourage you. He'll bless you. He'll make his face shine upon you. He'll put his countenance upon you and give you grace evermore. You'll be a child of the King. You'll be heirs with God. You'll walk in victory. You'll walk in a straight path. Oh, that wonderful hand of Jesus, that love of God that's not felt no one else in any other place but by in the sovereign part of God. Having his will, his heart on you is worth it all. And when you lay down and sleep at night, that's one thing that I do. I sleep real well. I can be hurting, and when I go to sleep, my pain's gone. God's been wonderful about that. But he gives his beloved sleep, it says it. There's special advantages in knowing God. He'll make a way. You might climb many mountains, but he's there to support you. When you start to fall off that mountain, he's there. He's actually lifts you up, encourages you. And when you break over, he'll keep you from going down too fast. He'll help you through the valley. God's there to deliver you, to support you, to encourage you. David encouraged himself. There's times that we have to encourage our heart. Say, Lord, encourage me this day that I'll be reinstated. Put in my mind, Father, let me know that you love me again. Let me know that I can walk. I live for you. Help me this day to bring me back to that vision. The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. And we need to have that vision of God, that God's there to support us, to strengthen us. Remember many times when the Lord said, I want you to go down the hospital and pray for someone. Boy, that got me tuned up pretty fast because, boy, it just got me back to running again. There's something that we need. There's nothing like doing the will of God. There's nothing that will give you that surpassing power of God. It's like doing the will of God, letting the Lord tell you what to do, and you see it happen. It encourages you. It blesses you. And yet God did it in such a way that I still went on with normal life. God will bless you where you are in a way that no one can. He told me, he says, you don't have to wear a suit. You can be with your home, you can do this, but I want you to prepare for an hour that's coming. Because an hour when this coming is, it'll be just you and me at that time. It means I had to keep my mind totally on. It won't be, there'll be people, but I mean, it's strictly him. It's about that hour already. He's coming. And we as God's people need to be prepared. Look what's happened to Japan. Look what's happened all the world. Things are coming to pass. Things are shaping up so fast, so rapidly, that I don't know whether this group that they're talking about needs all this money for all this. I don't know when it'll take shape, because I think that maybe God's even going to take place, preeminence of this happening. And if they're not careful, groups can say, hey, we're looking for this. No, God's over here. We got to keep our eyes upon the Lord. I mean, nothing can take our eyes up off the Lord. And that's what's going to be happening. People say, I should have my mind upon the Lord. Here, they've missed heaven. Little thing like that. I mean, they're good people. They're good people. But they just got their minds on other things. Our minds are part of the part that God wants. He's not asking us to cut our leg off. Most of us are foot. But he wants to keep our mind sort of, he lets us eat. In it all, he wants us to have some attention to him. But that attention is it's very little. That's where churches are missing it, because it's all about Sunday school teachers, Sunday school this. I remember I got up in a Sunday school meeting, and I said, we need to be more full of spirit here. And we'd have this, let me know right then, there's a pastor out there says, we don't need that in this church. I presume that they was all spirit-filled, but they didn't want all the spirit. And when you get down to fundamentals, I found it in churches, the bottom line is, The Spirit's not going to move. He's great. He doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes. Our figures don't add up. 2 and 2 don't make 10, makes 4. 8 and 8 makes 16, but 8 and 8 makes 58, and that most people. The adding is not right. Only God can keep that mathematical part correct. He's the one that understands all situations. All problems, he understands. Like he told me, I went over this fire years ago, and he says, before this day's over, you're going to be wide awake. And I said, okay. I couldn't get awake that morning. I could not get awake. And I was working down here in this town that I'm at on a DW-20 and steering on it. And they said, well, we're not going to need the 20, so we're going to all up the fire. So I thought, well, I'm just going to sit down here today and work on that. About 10 o'clock, man come up and says, you're going to fire. Says, we got to get some work on both those cats. Got to go back up there. So I went up there that night. So when I got there, all the men were sitting out there, and the helicopter floated them all out of the fire. And they said, you're just in time. You got to walk in ahead and go clear those cats before we start them. I thought, oh, lucky me. And so it was about a 6 mile hike. And I was in good shape in those days. We had about, the operators were with us, and there must be 15 men. And I finally took off, and I was must have been a half mile, mile ahead of them. But I was just talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you, glory to God. I had it. I had my strength in the Lord. The Bible says the Lord is our strength. And truly, he's a wonderful strength. But the Lord says, I was just praying. The Lord says, are you wide awake? I said, yes, I am. Thank you, thank you, man. See, God hadn't forgot. He told me that morning. But he assured me, it was everything all right. He says, you be careful. And I said, okay. And as I went up there, and the Lord was helping me how to go, and I went right to the cat. And everybody else said, you didn't get lost? I said, no. And I cleared those cats, and then the operators finally got there and said, start them up. And on the way out, they'd sent a vehicle up to me, a one-ton international. I don't know anything about it, but they made some dual-wheel international one-tons, a little flatbed. And I remember that truck. They sent it in this back road through the fire to pick me up, so I wouldn't have to walk all the way back. The driver's name was Ben. And Ben says, well, you made it through the fire. And I said, yeah, I did. Yes, I did all right. And he said, well, you're going to ride a ways now. And I said, okay. We started off, and we went about a half mile. The Lord says, stop, back up. I told Ben, I said, stop right now and back up, please. He said, wait. I says, please. I grabbed the steering wheel. I said, back up, please. It's our lives. Back up. He says, you're serious. And I said, yes, I'm serious. Back up, please. God says, back up. Just we backed up. That tree was, I'd say, 6 foot through the bottom. It was right next to the road there. And where we had to go into it, it would have been buried. That tree would have got us. And so we backed up. It got part of us, but it didn't hurt the truck. And then here, Bill, the other cat was coming behind us, so he cleared it off of us. But we'd have been killed right there. Lord says, aren't you glad I'm here? And I said, yes, I am. God's always such wonderful. Life is, there's problems facing you all the time. The first part of that's what helped was so special. Every day something happened. And when it happened, I knew what happened. And preachers told me that this could not be. Well, they don't have enough. God's there to, he don't ask me to do what they do, but they can't do what I'm doing. But see, God, we need to learn him, accept him where we are. Because he's got, that's what it's about. I've heard preach, we out here, and they don't see how they could use Brother Freedom, because look at his old terrible looking hands. But see, God seen that. That's an awful thing to say anyway, but I've had that said. I think pastors should be a little bit more loving in some of those kind of places. I forgive him, but I'm just something sarcastic like that don't go good in church. Church is supposed to be holy. You don't talk about people in church. You talk for people. You lift it up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You work through the Word of God. You work on the stream that calls holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see or please God. That's the holy way that God has this day, that His people will be above reproach. They'll be, don't have the problems. Their blood pressure stays down. A lot of things are better. They don't have all the serious conditions. They haven't consumed all the alcohol. They haven't consumed all that smoke. They haven't consumed a lot of drugs. All these things that the world gets in and they bring us down. God made us where we live above reproach. We'll walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus on our journey getting there. But God is the answer this day, and we need to remember that Jesus is coming is soon, because He says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. I was just looking at all the Weather Channel the other day, how much flooding, problems, cold, serious things is happening. And the Lord finally says, when you see these things, I have never seen this before in my life. I've never seen it, even knew what a tsunami, whatever it was about until now. Never had one a couple years ago, but they were unheard of. I've sailed across the Pacific, to Yokohama, back to Sasebo, Busan, Incheon, and the sea was never nothing like that. And nobody ever said anything about it. Things are changing. What I heard right now, it's going to change a little more because the earth is sort of out of balance, I guess. But the Bible says plainly, when you see these things come to pass, look up. You don't mean look down. That's where all we got looking down. We got to see where Japan's at. We got to see where, and we get our minds upon those things. But where our answer is, it's not, the answer's not there. It's trouble. Yes, we'll pray. We'll say, Lord, help them. But my eye is still on you, Lord. I go to the Lord with my prayers to help Japan. The answer is always in the Lord. The remedy is out here, but it can only be met by God. Those problems can only be changed by you staying in the will of God, seeking, being that one that stands in the gap, make up a hedge. And that's what the children of God should be about, standing in the gap, making up a hedge. How do you do it? Through prayer, being obedience to the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I want all of you out there to know that I love you, but I believe it's a narrow way, and I wouldn't do right if you didn't make heaven. You put your finger on Brother Freedom, but I want you to be careful this day, my people. I said the Lord says to be careful this day. We have to watch this day, be prepared, because it's coming soon. Seek the Lord, and you shall surely find Him. The Lord is very attentive to His people. Call upon Him while He's near. I pray that God will bless you in a mighty way. He'll help you, strengthen you this day. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Be careful out there. The Bible says without holiness, holiness means holy living. Without holiness, no man shall see or please God. Lord, I praise you this day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
I'm glad that I was here this morning. I can't think of a better place to be. We hear such wonderful truths. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this glorious message in Jesus' name.